KKFI Kansas City Community Radio, streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Every year we start out the new year with a series kind of to help tune and set the tone for the new year. And we've talked about health before, but this year we're going to do it a little bit different. All of us usually make New Year's resolutions, maybe it's drink less, to get in better shape, continue to eat better. And this year, we brought in one of Kansas City's best personal trainers, Mr. Brian Smith, with the Titan Principles. And we're going to talk about making changes in your health, but from a long-term aspect. So, good morning, Brian. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Brian, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Are you originally from the Kansas City, Missouri area?
Yes. So, actually, I am. I used to go to Grandview High School. Soon after that, I went to college at Missouri State University, and I had no plans of actually coming back, but then I met my wife, and she went to graduate school at KU up here, and we just ended up staying and having a family.
So, Brian, you're a certified personal trainer. How long have you been a certified personal trainer?
So I've been a trainer for 8 years. Five of those years were part-time, and it was only in the last 3 years that I went full-time and decided to take the plunge.
So you became that small business entrepreneur and wanted to work for yourself and see the rewards of your hard work.
Yes, that's correct.
But also doing something that you love at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So what is required to become a certified trainer versus just a regular personal trainer?
So to become a certified personal trainer, there's usually a couple of courses that you can take. The main thing is that you'll want to get your certification through one of the national certifications, such as there's ACE, NSCA, NASM, ISSA, and then you also want to make sure to stay up to date. So if you're a certified personal trainer, you have to continue education with research classes or college courses and things such as that.
So, Brian, as a youth, you had a health condition that you thought was a weakness, but you turned it into a strength. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Yes. So, as a youth, I had asthma, and it was definitely a weakness to me. And what made me turn it into a strength was I just wanted to work on it. I always wanted to improve myself. And I didn't want to keep ending up in the hospital with a chance of my life ending. The biggest takeaway is that I also didn't know how much of a choice I had to actually take action and change my life around.
And that's definitely motivation, because we're all given one body and we don't want it to end prematurely. We want to do everything we can. And that's a great story to be able to take something that you thought was a weakness and turn it into the strength. And from that, you started out with Titan Principles. What is the mission of Titan Principles?
Yes, so the Titan Principles is three principles that we like to teach to help people become the best versions of themselves. One is health and nutrition. The second is fitness. And then the third is motivation and also mindset. So if you're able to master those three things, then you're pretty much able to do anything that you want.
Brian, many people make New Year's resolutions to improve their health, and by the end of January, they've abandoned those resolutions. I mean, Bow Wow made a resolution on December 31st to stop drinking. January 1st, he made a tweet, that, you know, a post on his Instagram that said, sitting here with a glass of red wine in my hand, so his New Year's resolution didn't even make it one day. How critical is it to be motivated to improve your health when you're starting this process?
That's a good question. I would say if you're motivated when you're starting the process, it gives you an advantage, but it's not critical to have to start with motivation. And most people think that you have to start with motivation, and then you take action, and then you'll see results, and then that'll keep motivating you, and the loop will keep going. But actually, you want to start with action, and then you'll see results, and those results will motivate you. And that's how you'll be able to keep going long term.
So, Brian, if a person comes in and tell you they only want to improve their body for summer, get that summertime swimsuit body, what does that really tell you about that motivation? Is that a process that's going to continue once summer is here and they've maybe made it to that goal? Is it something that's really going to be a short-term situation?
Most of the time, that probably sounds like a short-term goal, and those are fine for some things, like weddings, right? If I have a bride, they're usually the most motivated, and they will make sure to get to that short-term goal. But to make lifestyle sustained change, then you're going to need a long-term goal and a step-by-step plan how you can be consistent with getting there.
And you kind of lead right into my next question. How successful will your lifestyle change be if your motivation is, if 10 is being highly motivated, and you come in at maybe a 3 or 4 on the lower end of the scale, how successful will that person be in their possible attempts to change their lifestyle?
So when you're motivated, it's easier to take action. If when you're not motivated, that's when things are hard. And so I usually tell people to you want to as soon as possible probably ditch that motivation and develop discipline, right? Developing a habit and also developing a backup plan for when you don't have the motivation, when you don't feel like going to the gym, what's the least that you can do? Maybe I'll just go for a walk for 5 minutes today, or maybe I'll just park at the back of the parking lot and walk further on my way into work today.
Yeah. So what you're saying is then basically take baby steps. Those baby mm-hmm. steps that then keep you, they may motivate you to, okay, I park 3 rows away from today, tomorrow I'll park 4 rows away, start motivating yourself to do a little bit more and do it in baby steps versus trying to start out on day one, you know, walking 3 blocks away from your office and saying, I'm going to go from that aspect. So, Brian, what are some of the, motivation is definitely has to be there. What are some other key factors that people must understand about starting a process to make that lifestyle change and improve their health?
I would say you definitely want something deeper than the surface level goal. Right. So, if I come in and I just want to lose 10 pounds before the summer, that is a very surface level goal, which is fine if you just want to scratch the surface of how successful you can be. But if you actually want to become the best version of yourself, you should be asking yourself, why do you want to lose the 10 pounds, right? So what's your emotional, compelling motivation to lose that 10 pounds or whatever you want to achieve that's hard, right? So maybe it's because you want to get rid of some love handles. Why do you want to get rid of some love handles? Maybe so you can fit into a dress that you used to wear. Why do you want to fit into that dress? Maybe you lost your confidence and you want to feel confident once more. And you just keep asking yourself why until you get to that deep root cause, and then you will have an emotional motivation to keep you going.
Brian, in cases prior to starting an exercise program, should people consult their medical professional to make sure that they don't have any conditions that would preclude an individual from starting a workout program or beginning to exercise?
Yes, that is an excellent idea. Hopefully, hopefully most of the time that would be the best case scenario. Usually when people want to start working out, they've already reached a point where they've spoken to their health professional, not on purpose, but because of a health crisis, right? And we really want to start making change before we hit that point.
And I know sometimes a person may have, as you were saying, had a recent health scare or an event occur. How does that begin to impact their motivation? Does that make them more motivated than somebody else who may have, you know, they just decide they're going to walk into the gym, but that person is, they've seen that what can happen if they don't change. How is that going to make them essentially, as I said, more motivated to go ahead and start a program and be continuous with it?
Yeah, I would say so. Because since they've had that health crisis, they have their emotional reason, right? If they think about it, they just ask themselves, who are they changing for, right? Is it for them? Is it for their kids, their grandkids? What is it that scared them into wanting to change, and grab onto that and really write that into your New Year's resolutions or your new goals to change things around?
So if you have questions for Brian about making a healthy lifestyle change, give us a call to the studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So, Brian, prior to starting a workout program, how critical is it to take assessment of where you are? You know, people may not have worked out, you know, it's been 10, 15 years, but coming in and saying, okay, I know I can't run. My goal is not to try to run a marathon by the end of the month, but how do you begin to assess where you are to make a plan to where you want to go?
Yeah, really, you have to decide what your goal is, and then you have to have some sort of idea of the steps that it's going to take to get there and why you want to get there, right? It's a really good time to take a look at your past history, like past exercises that you've done, and really figure out what you did and didn't like. If you didn't like it, I probably wouldn't start doing that again, because then you won't stay consistent with it.
So what are some things that people can start to do now? I know today it's a cold and blistery day in Kansas City and in the Midwest area. But what are some things that people can begin to do inside to start that process and begin to make that transformation?
Yeah, I would say just start small, right? I know it's cold today, so no one probably wants to go on a walk, but that counts. Walking is definitely a good form of exercise. And like I mentioned earlier, parking in the back of a parking lot, right? Taking more bathroom breaks to get more steps in during the day. It doesn't have to be anything big. The main thing is that you want to build more consistency, because that's more important when it comes to long-term gains.
So could it be something as simple as getting off on the 14th floor and walking that one flight of steps to the 15th floor, maybe doing that at the end of the day, instead of taking the elevator from the 15th floor, walk down to the 14th floor and go from there? Just, as you said, small, subtle changes to get the process started.
Yes.
So what also are some key factors that people need to understand when starting an exercise program, that this is not going to be something that, it's not microwavable, but it's not instant, and that there's going to take some time and some change to it?
Yeah. I would say just realize quickly that there's no quick fix or magic pill. I know people, so that's what's being sold all the time. So nothing's going to make you lose fat in a certain area, gain muscle, or be healthier, other than exercising consistently, eating right, and then focusing on your mental health aspects. That's the only way to make progress long term. It doesn't sound fabulous. It doesn't sell well, which is why you never see it on social media. But it's tried and true. And it works, and it'll keep you right for the rest of your life.
Brian, sometimes it can be hard making that healthy lifestyle change, and even harder when you're doing it alone. How can having a workout partner, a spouse, or a coach help improve your chances of being successful?
Yeah. Studies have shown that couples and when you have a partner who exercise together, you're more likely to stick to a fitness routine longer and maintain a healthier relationship. Just some of the benefits are accountability, right? Then you're able to challenge each other, push the comfort zone a little bit. Then you also get to spend quality time together as well.
And I know right now it's cold, but as you said, getting able to spend that quality time. So as it gets warmer in Kansas City, you know, being able to go out for a walk together, doing those different things that can help. That may be a day you may not want to go on a walk, but that person may motivate you and say, come on, let's go for that walk. So that gives you a better chance of making that permanent lifestyle change.
Mm-hmm.
So you all have, at Titan Principles, you all have couples programs, couples workout. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about those, how that process works?
Yeah. So we have a couples program ran by my wife and I. So we're a couple who help other couples. She does the nutrition part, and I train the fitness, right? And so really what we do is we find exercises and foods that you guys can make together to make a healthy lifestyle change, as well as exercises that you guys can do together as well. Now, most of the time, probably 80 to 95% of the time, the partners are not going to have the same goals. So, of course, their exercises are going to look different, and just different programming is going to look really different. But you're still able to do it in the same vicinity, or we can figure out ways for you guys to exercise on different shifts, especially if you're parents and you need someone watching the kids at all times.
And that I would just start to touch on that is that sometimes schedules don't allow for people to sync up, and there's not a whole lot of time. So what can people do, especially couples also, or somebody that may lead a highly active life, do to begin to get in that process of making a healthy lifestyle change?
Yeah, I would just start off small, right? If they're not able to work out together and they're not able to do like partner exercises, a good time would be keeping each other accountable. So at the end of the day, you're seeing each other and talking about what forms of active movement that you have done. And then also you're able to challenge each other in the kitchen as well, as far as like what forms of food that you ate and how much, how close you were to achieving your daily goal.
So I know sometimes we get started and we think that, you know, by the end of the month, we want to have lost 25 pounds, an unrealistic number, or we want to have lost 40 pounds. But how important is it to know that it's going to take time, that you may not see instant results up front, so that you don't become discouraged and think that you're not making progress when you are making progress?
Yeah, that is very important, because it will take longer than you want it to, especially since we have access to social media and everyone's always showing off. You're going to be working really hard, and then you'll get on social media and wonder why everyone else makes it seem so easy, and it's not. You're going to have mistakes, and you'll probably mess up, and that's a good thing, because I don't expect everyone to give me 100%. I'm perfectly fine with 80%, because if you give me 80%, that means you're still going to get great results, and you get a little bit of slack for some learning experiences.
So I know we also, in a time of COVID, what things can people do to, you know, people may not feel comfortable going to the gym, doing some different things. What can people do in their home and maybe in their neighborhood to begin to put together a program for those that may be, you know, they may be in a position where they are in a high risk category, but they want to work out. What kind of things can those particular people do to start out with the lifestyle change?
First of all, cardio. And when I say cardio, a cardio that you like, most people don't like running. Cycling is popular. If you like cycling, I would say go ahead and do that. If all you like is walking, that's perfectly fine. And I think that is probably the easiest and best way to get started. There's also body weight exercises and a home workout that you can do at home or at the park, depending on what you have accessible. But usually a home workout program that's programmed correctly will be just fine enough, and make sure to get some your steps in for the day.
And when you talk about steps, I know, what is the goal of steps? You know, now we've got smartphones, we've got Apple Watches, we've got everything that will track how many steps we take per day. What is a good goal to start out with steps per day if you're just starting an exercise program?
I would say a good goal is, all right, here's what I would do. Here's what I would tell someone. Strap on a watch. Figure out how many steps they're getting, because I promise it's not as much as they think they are. And once we have that number, we'll start there, and then we'll slowly increase it. All right? So maybe someone's getting 2,500 steps. We're going to increase that to 3,000, right? Or and then the next week, maybe we'll increase it to 3,500 or 4,000, depending on how many steps they're getting right now. Because we want to start where they are right now, and then slowly increase that up.
And that is something that you can do right now, even today. You can, you know, maybe start out walking 5 minutes around your house, you know, and increase that. So that's something that you can do regardless of what the weather is. And I know there's times when I used to go into the store and I may have 4,000 steps and I wanted another 1,000. Home Depot got to love me great from 9 to 10 at night, because I could go in the store, walk up and down the aisles, and I would look at different things, and there was basically nobody at the store. And it was a great way. It was someplace, there was plenty of places to walk. You know, there were not a lot of people. And after a couple of days, they got used to seeing me in the store, you know, that time. So I had a great place to walk. I had a place that was safe and secure. And then it was also a time span, because I know if I was going between, you know, 8:30, something, when it closed at 9, I'd get there, you know, about 8:30. So that means I had 30 minutes just to walk through the store. And it was a great experience. So, you know, it taught me where there's a will, there's a way to be able to do different things. And I think that's one of the things that you, when you're exercising and working out, also, if you're motivated, going back to it's part of that motivation factor, that if you're motivated to make something happen, you stand a better chance of getting it to happen.
Yeah.
So if you, in a situation and you've got a life coach, or how important is it to you to be honest with your coach, you know, about different things, that exercises that may be a struggle, things that you may have difficulty with, so that you and that coach are both on the same page?
Definitely really important. You and the coach have a relationship going on, right? It's important to have open communication, since you guys are working together. I know most people think that they see a trainer or a coach and that they're doing all the work, but it really only works if both of you work together, right? So if you pretend to be exercising more or eating better than you are, your trainer's going to have a difficult time monitoring your program and your outcomes. So you want to keep things realistic, right? So tell your trainer what you're willing to accomplish, and then they'll tell you what you can expect in terms of results.
That's a good idea, good plan. And I know, look, I'm looking at you all's website, which is thetitanprinciples.com. One of the things that you all mentioned on the website is online coaching for those that may not be in a position where they can come to a studio because they may have a high risk for COVID, or, you know, they may not have a babysitter, different things. What does the online coaching look like for somebody who's enrolled in that program, Brian?
So the online personal training is you still have open communication with me, usually once a week or twice a week, depending on how busy you are. You'll have a FaceTime call with me. Everything else is you'll have communication in our mobile app. So your program will be in there, your nutrition will be in there, all of your data on your progress will be in there. And then you'll be able to message me at any time in there if you have any questions about anything. So it works really well. The only thing that I would say about online training is that you need a little bit of some self-motivation, right? Because it's easy for people to just turn off their phone if they don't feel like answering me today.
No, they wouldn't do that, would they, Brian? It's like, no, I'm not. This is a call. Sorry, I'm in another Zoom meeting. I'm sorry, I'm busy right now. But that's part of that accountability of you making that phone call, reaching out, and that person knows that they're going to, you know, there's somebody that's going to hold them accountable. Did you, you know, how many steps did you get in today? You know, what things did you eat? So it's definitely a situation where that accountability partner, especially for somebody who's got a fast-paced lifestyle, is definitely there. Let me ask this question. Was the online coaching something that came out of COVID, or was that something that you did prior to COVID even starting?
Excellent question. So I actually got started on online prior to COVID. It just so happened that then COVID happened and we were already prepared.
So that made it easier for you all to transition when people maybe when times when, you know, in the early session of the pandemic, fitness centers were closed, you know, people couldn't go out, but you could still reach out and work with people in that situation because you all had the online portion already mastered when a lot of people were just starting to figure out how to ramp that up.
Yes.
Because I remember in the middle of the pandemic, I mean, the beginning of the pandemic, when a lot of the fitness centers were, people were still paying their memberships and they were letting them take maybe a bicycle or something home to get people continuous in that mindset of staying healthy. But like I said, sometimes there's some things you can do, you know, walking around the house, walking around the neighborhood. These are all things you can do outside. You can social distance and make sure that you're staying healthy, but at the same time, keeping yourself safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brian, what are some of the benefits that people get from exercising?
Benefits of exercise. So right now, I know a lot of people in the winter get those winter blues. But if you start exercising, you'll feel better. You'll have more energy, improve your sleep. Not only will you start moving better, you'll become stronger, improving libido, and you'll just have better overall health.
So exercise, especially when you've got the winter blues, is just a way to get, it keeps your endorphins high, keeps your motivations high, and it helps you deal with this time of the year when, you know, we may, like days today, we're stuck inside, but, you know, if we're walking through the house, doing different things, it kind of helps us become a better person or improve our quality of life because we're not just stuck where we are, we're still making strides going to where we're trying to go.
Yes.
So if you're starting an exercise program, Brian, how many times a week should you work out?
Good question. I would flip that question around to whoever is asking. I would ask yourself, what does your schedule look like? Right? What can you do consistently every week? Right? So don't start off with 5 or 6, 7 times a week or twice a day workouts. If you can't keep that up going forward, right? Most people can only do 2 or 3 times a week consistently without skipping workouts. And if you have the time to be able to do 3 workouts a week, you can make some excellent progress. It's also a good question on how long can you work out for, right? Maybe you only have an hour after work. Then I would just keep it an hour. Maybe you only have 30 minutes. I had a dentist student who only had like 15 to 20 minutes because he was so busy with finals and tests, and we made that work. It doesn't have to be long. You just have to stay consistent with it and make it work for you.
So that said, what is the best time of day to exercise? I know one of the things I found that when I walked late at night, my body was more or less wide awake after that. So it took time for me to, you know, come home, relax. Those endorphins are high. So it may have taken another 90 minutes to 2 hours for me to wire down to the point where I was ready to go to sleep. So what is the best time of day to exercise to get maximum benefits from it?
That is the question I also get. So the answer is that one also depends. It also depends on what you can stay consistent with. So I would recommend that if you work out in the morning and you find yourself really tired afterwards, then I would probably switch your workout to night, because some people work out and they want to go to sleep afterwards. But some people work out and then they have a lot of energy afterwards. And so then for those people, you probably shouldn't work out at night, especially if you plan on going to sleep anytime soon. You should probably work out in the morning, so that way you can use that energy to carry yourself through the day.
Okay. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Kansas City's community radio station. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're starting our new year with the Titan Principles. And that's Brian Smith. And he's talking about ways to begin an exercise program to achieve a healthy lifestyle. Stay tuned. Right back after this short break. We're back. This is Joseph Jackson hosting Cowtown Conversations on 90.1 FM. And today we are starting our new year off with our New Year's series of creating a better you. And today our guest is Brian Smith with the Titan Principles. And we're talking about getting your body ready to make changes, those New Year's resolutions that many people make to, you know, have a healthier lifestyle, be more active. So, Brian, one of the things, so many people make New Year's resolutions, but as I stated when we opened up, by the end of the month, those resolutions are gone. What can they do to start those resolutions that will make them more successful in that resolution or that lifestyle change or whatever they want to do, being more successful and then lasting more than, you know, 5 days, 10 days, a month, 2 months, but it makes a long-term change?
Yeah. I would say the biggest thing that they can do is to keep it simple, right? Start slowly and then just build upon that. If someone has a New Year's resolution that they're going to exercise maybe 3 times a week, right? You get to choose those exercises, right? You don't have to follow any trend that you see on TikTok or social media. And the biggest things when you choose those exercises is, how do you want to do it, right? You have to keep it simple. The way I would prioritize picking exercises is picking exercises that don't hurt, right, that are comfortable for you, picking exercises that you enjoy and that you hate the least, and then also picking exercises that are the most bang for your buck, that will save you on time and then hit several muscle groups at a time. So really, when you're making your New Year's resolutions, you want to keep things as simple, enjoyable, and as easy as possible.
So we've got a caller on line one, Brian. Caller is calling from Midtown. So, Ms. Jackson, can you tell Brian, what's your question or comment for Brian from Titan Principles? Are you there? Caller, are you there?
I take exercise.
Go ahead.
2 times a week. What would you say for me to do? Do you have a, and also, do you have a senior discount in your business?
Good question.
I know it.
So I would recommend to do as much active movement as you can, right? So what is enjoyable for you to do as far as exercises or cardio or walking or things like that?
I walk and I go all the time.
And yeah,
like I
would
go to centers and things and just walk around there.
Yeah, I would do walking, and then also find some strength training exercise that you could do, which doesn't have to be much. It could be as simple as getting up from a chair, right? And it doesn't have to be complicated. Just has to be something that's challenging but still easy and enjoyable for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, yeah. Carla. So, Brian, she brings up a great point. For those that may be senior citizens or older, what types of exercises would you say is best for them to be able to do, you know, that, you know, they're not into the point where they're trying to basically, you know, maintain and keep a healthy, active lifestyle, and they're not trying to prepare to run a 5K or anything else? What would be good exercises for somebody to do that's older in age?
So that would really depend on their body. So what's comfortable for them is what I would prioritize first. So, like I said, things that don't hurt. like a squat down to the chair, which is just sitting down onto the chair and then standing back up, something like that. And then also walking, swimming, and then really, we're looking for things that don't cause any joint pain and that is just enjoyable overall.
Okay. So what range of your clients that you work with, what does that age range look like?
The most popular age range is, I think right now it's 30 to 60. I do have a few who are over 70, but 30 to 60 is the main right now.
And is the workout one-on-one, or do you do any classroom type for those who may be older? How does the Titan Principles work?
So all of my workouts are one-on-one, right? So they get my full attention, where I'm able to make sure that they're injury-free and that they're doing the exercise correctly and safely. And then I'm able to help them through any exercise that they need. I currently don't offer any group classes or anything like that. And of course, we do the couple coaching, but besides that, that's the only one where it's two people.
So as we start out exercising, we're talking about different things. I can't remember if I went on this, but how long, we've talked about what time of, how to pick that best time of day, but, and you said, you know, you had that dental student who only had 15 minutes. What is the ideal time that a person should try to put in toward doing their workout program?
I would say 60 minutes. You really don't need to be in there for 2 hours or an hour and a half. If you are, I would probably take a look to see if you're socializing or anything like that. Because most of the time, it most likely you're resting for too long. And the reason why I would limit it at 60 minutes is because most people can't keep up the intensity that they need during those 60 minutes, much longer than 60 minutes. Usually that's the max, and then things start slowing down. So I would just keep it only at 60 minutes, and then after that, save the rest for another day.
So would a workout program, I know it's kind of like a college paper. You got an introduction, a body, a conclusion. So would that be 60 minutes worth of cardio? Would that be 60 minutes worth of, okay, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes worth of cardio, then a little bit of strength training, different things like that? How should a person plan that 60 minutes of that time that they're going to dedicate toward working out?
Yeah, depends on their goals, right? So if someone is training for a 5K, right, I would have them go through a warm up, and then I would probably have them, so they have the choice to strength train or do the majority of that hour doing cardio, right? So if you're doing a 5K, I would say to probably start with running, because that's where the majority of your energy is going to go, and then do strength training afterwards, because you probably won't have much energy after that. But that's because your goal is for a 5K. Now, if your goal is something else, then I would probably say start with strength training, because that will take the majority of your energy, and then do cardio afterwards, and then stretching afterwards. But it really just depends on your goal, how you want to develop and put most of your time in that hour.
So, Brian, what are some signs that you may be overtraining? You just said you only need to be in the gym maybe no more than an hour a day. So what are some signs that a person may be doing too much in overtraining?
If you're getting injured all the time, if you're in pain, fatigue, discomfort, or if your progress has stalled, that'd probably be a good time to take a look at your workouts and your exercises. Most people do love that tough, sweaty workout when they're motivated, but if you don't balance recovery with your workouts, then you'll most likely end up with injury or illness.
Brian, how important is it for that workout program, as we were saying, to have that warm-up period, that conditioning period, and that cool-down period, so that your body, you know, you're not running 20 minutes, and your goal was 20 minutes, and at the end of that 20 minutes, you just abruptly stop. How important are those three areas to a workout program?
To avoid injury, I would say it's very important. The warm-up, especially the warm-up, it's a chance to get your body prepared for exercise, right? And then as far as the cool-down, I usually like to save static stretching from the cool-down, because that's where you receive the most benefits, and people really like to stretch after those muscles are warmed up and ready to cool down.
So, Brian, we know it takes 21 days to make a habit. So if people start it now and they're able to continuously work out for that 21 days, what are the chances that are going to be more successful and keep that exercise program up?
I would say it would be just as successful as the understanding that you have of why it's important to you, right? So if you have taken those 21 days and stayed consistent, there's nothing, probably nothing stopping you from on day 22 to just stay at home that day and say, oh, I did 21 days, I deserve this, right? But if in those 21 days of staying consistent, you have the emotional understanding of why the habit is important, you'll probably keep doing it. A habit all of us probably or should do is brushing our teeth, right? If there was no consequence to it, most of us probably wouldn't brush our teeth at all. But since we know that we'll go out in public and have bad breath and bad teeth, if we didn't brush our teeth, we do it, right? And you need to have that same mentality when it comes to your other habits, right?
Yes, definitely. I know this morning I was talking to a friend of mine that I used to talk about her exercise routine. And she said, you know, last year she started a 75-day challenge in May. And the challenge was, you know, to do, get out, do some walking, do something, 75 days. And so she started in May. And she said, you know, it was December, and she had incorporated that as a part of her day. You know, she picked the best time of her, best time of day for her to work out. And she would at least go walking, you know, for, she said she started out doing like 20 minutes. Then after a couple of weeks, she went from 20 minutes to 30 minutes. And at the end, by November, December, when we were still having warm days, she said she was still walking an hour a day. And the one thing that I love about walking and is that if you start walking somewhere, you have to turn around and go back. So it's not like going to a track where if you walk at the track, it's easier after three or four laps to get into your car and go walk back to your car, get into your car and go home. But if you're outside walking, if you walk four blocks away from your house, you've got to turn and walk those four blocks to get back to your house. Regardless, you know, there's no easy way out, but it's one of those things. But it also allows you to be able to, you know, challenge yourself. I walk four blocks, I walk five blocks. You know, you've got a way to look at measuring how far you've went, but also you've got a built-in way that you've got to go back. The way in which you came, there's no shortcuts. There's no easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
So as we talk about exercise is one part of the healthy guidelines to improve your lifestyle. Brian, how big is nutrition play a role in that? Because you could work out all you want, but if your nutrition is not there, it's kind of like you're shooting yourself in the foot a little bit.
Yes, that is correct. It doesn't matter how good of a workout program I create for someone. You'll still probably make some pretty good progress, but just know that your progress could be way better if you improved your behaviors regarding nutrition, right? If you made any progress at all due to nutrition. So when people tell me what to start with, right, usually I recommend exercise because exercise is the easiest thing to start change with, right? Nutrition is hard, and so I would start with exercise if you want something easy, something that you can do easy and stay consistent with. If you want the most bang for your buck and really make a difference, then I would start with nutrition and start making some different changes regarding nutrition behaviors.
So, Brian, one-on-one coaching, you have couples, classes. What other types of programs available at the Titan Principles?
Yeah, so we have the one-on-one in-person personal training. We have the online personal training through our mobile app. The couples coaching, which provides fitness and nutrition for you and your partner by my wife and I. And we offer personalized nutrition meal plans by our registered dietitian, my wife. So if all you need is nutrition and you just need to know what to eat regarding macronutrients and micronutrients and just to make sure that you're staying as healthy as possible for nutrition, then we have those nutrition meal plans that will give you 1 day or 3 days of what it would look like to eat optimally for you.
So, Brian, where is the fitness center where you do your training at? Where are you located in Kansas City?
Yeah, we're located in South Kansas City in the Red Bridge Shopping Center. So that's at the corner of Red Bridge and Holmes. And we do our training inside of Blue Bicycle Health and Fitness in that plaza.
And what hours are available? What are your hours of training that are available?
So we are available Monday through Saturday from 5:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then on Saturday is 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And Brian, if people want to get more information, what is your website for the Titan Principles?
Yeah, if anyone would like more information, they can just visit thetitanprinciples.com or visit any of our social media which is just at the Titan Principles.
So are you Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter? Which social media platforms are you on?
Everything except Twitter right now. I tried it. I couldn't keep up with it. So Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. And so for those that are old school, do you have a phone number where people can contact you if they have additional questions or like to get more information on the Titan Principles?
Yes. You can call us at area code 816-237-0449.
And repeat that again for us.
And that's area code 816-237-0449.
And as we close out, Brian, on your website you have that you do speaking engagements to groups and food demonstrations. Are these programs are still available, or have you discontinued them due to COVID-19?
No, those are still available. But I do find that most of my speaking engagements are through Zoom instead of in person, so it's a little bit different. And we also do still do food demos with our registered dietitian in case anyone wants to learn how to have healthier options when it comes to the foods that they're currently eating.
I would like to thank Mr. Smith with the Titan Principles for being our guest today. We never encounter town conversations without our community minute. And today, folks, the weather was cold. It will give you the blues, but also we need to make sure that if you have a pet, it is cold outside with the wind chill. So it's in it very negative. So if you've got pets, this would be a good time to maybe bring them into the house. Or if they've got a doghouse and you're leaving them outside, that you know that it's something that they're not facing that brutal wind, and that you know there may be some straw or blanket or something side there for them to be able to go on and comfortably rest. You know, they're not going to want to go outside today, but also you know just make sure that you're keeping your pets safe in this weather because it's so cold. But also call and check on your neighbors, make sure that they may have you know enough food, that they've got the things that they need, because going outside, frostbite can occur within, you know, 15 to 30 minutes. So definitely make sure that, you know, we check on our pets, but we also check on our elderly loved ones to make sure that they've got what they need and they don't have to go out. And folks, we know that COVID-19 Omicron variant numbers are up, and I'm just encouraging everybody to know if you've stay safe, wear a mask, you know, and if you haven't been vaccinated, consider being vaccinated. The vaccines are available now for those from 5 and ages up. And it's a way to keep yourself safe and keep your loved ones safe. And, you know, they have a lot of new variants that are coming out, but also, folks, they've got new different vaccines that are coming out that are not based on mRNA technology. So do your homework, stay safe, wear a mask, and you know we're all going to get through this together. So for Cowtown Conversations, I've been your host Joseph Jackson. Join us next week when we're going to talk about part two of this, which is going to be nutrition, things you should eat, and how to maximize your nutrition to give your body the fuel it needs. So have a great day. Stay safe again. Wear a mask and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.
Mm-hmm.